this last week here at Eagles Way has been a true eye-opener for me. Just being here this last year, I've seen a lot of change, you know, myself included. And I witnessed on Wednesday night for the first time my first ever trunk or treat. I never, no clue what a trunk or treat was. But just an overwhelming response of people here at Eagles Way that showed up to decorate your trunks, to show the kids an overwhelming, just good time. I saw a lot of kids here from Eagles Way that I recognized, but what was surprising and quite interesting was I saw a lot of kids that I've never seen before for the first time, a lot of people coming out. So, you know, Eagles Way to me is a church that doesn't mind opening its doors to any and everyone. I felt welcome from day one. You know, never felt like, I mean, and just a year into it, I already feel like this is my church home, just a short time. And that's a testament to just how open and welcoming you guys are. So if you're here, ready to enjoy and worship God and enjoy the Spirit, stand on your feet and enjoy the wonderful talents of this band.
This hour, we're all together, together, waiting here as one. Yes, there is power, power, here in this hour, this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh.
worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Come into your house, Lord, and lay it all down. And God, we love you and we thank you for everything that you do for us, Father. In Jesus' name.
has quaked before. Moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Waves. oceans deep, my faith will stand.
My faith will be. and Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here with us today. We praise you. We're so excited for what you have in store for us today, God. Thank you for your presence.
It's in His presence where our faith is made stronger. Sometimes we forget how important it is to be in His presence and enjoy that, because we are made stronger, grow, are edified. As our ushers are preparing this morning, we receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to the house, whether it's a trunk or treat or serving in the children's ministry, the media department, or the ladies that made biscuits this morning. How many of you got a biscuit this morning? Pretty good stuff. It's awesome. There is lots of opportunities for you. We have our Thanks and Giving meal coming up on the 19th. If you would like to bake a turkey for that, or smoke a turkey, or cook a turkey, or whatever it is that you do to a turkey, I think we have three or four more turkeys that need to be cooked for that particular day. Or if you would like to cook a turkey for the Thanks and Giving meals for the poor and needy in our community. That is done on, delivered on Thanksgiving Day, but they need to be cooked that week prior. So all of that information is in the foyer. You can sign up for that. If you plan on being at our meal on that Wednesday night, if you would, just jot your name down and how many are coming with you so we can make sure we have enough dressing and all the fixings to go along with that. Let's pray and bless this offering. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness to this house. Lord, we thank you for these tithes and the offerings and the alms. Lord, as they come in to the storehouse, Lord, that each and every person that gives will be blessed, and that their needs will be met, that this house needs will be met. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good. Delbert talked last week about Eagles Way Church and about always putting commas, and so I had to remove a comma. I had to change the theology this week, and it happened last night. I always said God wasn't interested in sports. God loves Auburn. Just no doubt about it, He favors that football team. That see how they pull out the wins over the last 3 years. So I don't understand it, but it appears that somebody over there is doing some really good stuff. And somebody at Georgia is not doing some really good stuff. Nah, just kidding. I really don't believe that. I still believe what the commentator said years ago when the batter got up to bat and he did the sign of the cross, and one commentator said, the other one said, you think that helps? He said, not if he can't hit. And I sort of still believe that can't hit, you can pray all you want, but you better have some skills when you stand up there to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. I could get up there and do this all I wanted to, and I'm not going to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, I guarantee you. Going to start a new series today that I'm interested in as much as anything, because I don't know exactly where we're going to go with it. I felt the Lord impressed me a month or so ago to do this series. We did it in 2010. We called it The Ghost. Now we're just going to call it the Holy Spirit. Either term's fine. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. Same thing. Old King James called Him the Holy Ghost. The translations came around and thought that ghost scared people. And believe me, it did scare some people years ago. And I help people that don't want to kind of build this, get you ready for this series, all right? Many of you know I came up Pentecostal. And Pentecostal is a strong, strong emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Very strong emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Someone asked me the other day, said, what's the strangest thing you ever saw? And I got to thinking, because I've seen a lot of strange things. But one strange thing I saw I'm not going to share it with you. Yeah, it was too strange. But I've seen everything from my dad. We had a church on Chapel Street, and it had pews, and those pews were fastened very securely to the floor. And I saw my dad on one or two occasions walk the pews preaching. He literally stepped up on top of one pew and walked three or four pews down and jumped off. And as a little boy, I went, that's got to be the Holy Ghost. My dad was not athletic, and I don't believe he could have done that on his own. One of the amazing things he did one time, my dad had false teeth, and he was just preaching. And his false teeth came out, and when they came out, he hit the floor, and Daddy reached down, grabbed them, popped them in his mouth, and never missed a word. I thought, that's Holy Ghost. It's him coming upon you doing things that you just couldn't do on your own. So, but what we're going to try to do is not base our theology based upon experience, but based upon the Word. And so we're going to look at the Word, and I've entitled this, The Purpose and the Procedure of the Holy Spirit. What's His purpose? Now, Jesus thought a lot about the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, Jesus said some things about Him that should make us go, wow, if he believed that much in Him, how much more should we believe in Him? Jesus said that it is expedient that I go back to heaven, because if I don't go back, He won't come. But if I go back, He will come. And He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He said, if I go back to heaven, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now, we're going to go back and forth through this series from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But just to give you a little theological background, in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. In the New Testament, He lived within people. He came upon them. Samson was someone the Holy Spirit came upon. And when He came upon him, He did extraordinary feats. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. That's a pretty exceptional, don't you think? Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he could do extraordinary things. And I believe the Holy Spirit comes upon us at all times so that we can go from the ordinary to the extraordinary. I really believe that. I believe that he comes upon us so that we who are ordinary can do and become and see some extraordinary things happen in our lives. The Bible says even about Saul, that the Spirit of God came upon him and turned him into another man. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit would come upon people in the Old Testament, and when he did, they would prophesy. They would proclaim the wonders of God. And so, if you will look with me in Genesis chapter 1, I'm actually rereading a book that I read several years ago called Primal Christianity. Primal Christianity. And the book, the reference of the book really is talking about how was it then. Now, I used to think the word primal or primitive was it just seemed like that's not a good word. I used to go by and look, see a sign on a church say Primitive Baptist, and I'd scratch my head and go, Primitive Baptist, why would you want to be primitive? But when you look up the word primal, it means original. It means first in importance. It's how it began, and it's the beginning of it, and that's what Genesis is. Genesis is a seedbed of faith. Genesis means the beginning. And so we're going to go back to the beginning and see what the Holy Spirit's purpose was and what his procedure was in creation. That'd be a good place to start, don't you think? So let's start with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, I like all the different translations that there are, but this word hovering has been a word that's used in almost every translation ever yet. It's like they couldn't find another word in the Hebrew that really spoke of what the Holy Spirit was doing. Now, when I was a young minister in 1976, and the first time I ever read this scripture publicly and was preaching it, I said, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And someone came up to me and said, Buren, Hoover is a vacuum cleaner. And so I thought for a moment, and my quick wit came up, and I said, well, that's what I was talking about. The Spirit of God was like a vacuum cleaner, and he was getting all the dust and the things out of the earth that didn't need to be. He was cleaning up the mess. And he said, you really don't believe that, do you? I said, no. But it was, I thought it was pretty quick wit, though. And so, but I want to talk about what was he doing. The word hovering in the Hebrew means he was incubating. He was doing something that was very, very significant. And you'll find in Genesis later on, the Bible says that God said this, let us make man in our own image. So he said, let us, so it meant God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now what I'm going to share with you is a theory. Say theory. It's a theory that I believe in. It's a theory that has been taught for many, many, many years, but it is a theory, and I'll show you why it's a theory, but we're going to look at some scriptures to document it. There's a word that says, and the earth was. Many believe that that word was in the original Hebrew was really, and the earth became. The earth became formless and empty, and darkness was upon the deep. The reason I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 45. In verse 18 says, for the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. Now, we just read in Genesis 1, I'm going to have to teach. You got to follow me today, okay? Because we're doing more teaching than preaching. In Genesis 1, it says the earth was in chaos. But in Isaiah, it says that he did not create it in chaos. And so it kind of goes along with the theory that maybe something transpired and it became that way, not in his original intent, but it became that way. All right, in Job chapter 38, I love this Job chapter 38. I love Job. I know a lot of people don't like Job. I like Job. You know, you never hear people naming the kid Job. I mean, I'm a good friend of mine, Mike Thompson. He's not here today, but he's been through a lot. And back a couple of years ago, and he's going through a really difficult time in his life. I called him one morning. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just reading the book of Job. I said, dude, you can't find another book to read. You're going through enough without reading the book of Job. But when you really read the book of Job, you really see it's a great book. And so Job has gone through a lot, and it's coming to the end of his trials and his testings. And Job is really, he's had three friends, or so-called friends, who came to him. And this was the kind of friend that he was. He's going through the worst time of his life, and friends said stuff like this. You know, Job, why you're going through what you're going through? You've done something wrong. You've really messed up in life. You wouldn't be going through this, Job, unless you really, really did something wrong. What'd you do, Job? And so Job's listening. One friend after another comes to Job. And so Job finally gets to the place where he's wondering, I think. Because in the beginning, his wife says to him, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. God giveth, God taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said things like, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he just would encourage himself and prophesy himself, but it appears after these friends just came pounding on him one after another and discouraging him that maybe he got just a little bit confused himself. And I can't read all the scriptures, but it's indicative, not indicative, it is. Job started questioning God. Job started questioning God, and I'm going to read a few verses before these verses, and it says, the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? I love it. Who are you? Do you know who you're talking to? Who is this? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Yeah. You know, you don't want to get into a match with God. You don't want to get into a theological discussion with God. You're going to lose every time. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone? And this is the key verse. As the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. This is happening while God's creating the heavens and the earth. And by the way, he says God created the heavens and the earth. I don't believe he ever meant heaven to be that far from earth. Okay. That we got heaven so far away, and he didn't really create it to be that far away. He actually created it as one. He wanted it to be in the same dimension, that we just have to be able to see it by the Spirit. Because if we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us, and they have to be then with us. And anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. But these morning stars sang, and the angels sang for joy. Why? Because of this beautiful creation that had been made. Something glorious had happened. And then in Exodus, this is not on your notes, but in Exodus chapter 20, and you can write this down, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. It is on there. He made it. Genesis said he created it. Moses said he made it. Big difference in creating something and making something. In the beginning, God created. Created means he called in something into existence out of nothing. There was nothing, and he just created it with a spoken word, and it came about. But then in Exodus, it says, Moses said, in 6 days it followed, after something chaotic transpired and took place, God made it. To make something, it means that you make it out of the materials that already exist. My question to myself this week was, my question has been over the years in pastoring, one of the saddest things that I ever see, one of the saddest things that ever transpires, is to see something that's so beautiful become so ugly. To see something that's so unified and orderly become disunified and disorderly. To see a couple who are madly in love with one another, and who make covenant with one another, who make commitments to one another, and who live together, and they can only see good in one another. And over a period of time, that which is so beautiful, that which is so wonderful, becomes chaotic and so ugly. Because one of the worst things can ever happen is relationship to go bad. One of the worst things that ever happens is to see a family, a father and a mother, and sons and daughters, something that's so beautiful, something that's so wonderful, all of a sudden become so ugly. And all of a sudden the people who loved each other with such a pure, wonderful heart, all of a sudden have this disunity. And the greatest pain they've ever experienced was the greatest joy they ever entered into. And what was the most wonderful thing they ever experienced became the most painful thing they ever experienced. To hold a newborn babe and to see a child that you love with all of your heart, they love you with all of your heart, but if it's not nurtured, if it's not taken care of, over a process of time, that relationship becomes tainted. And a father can hate the son can hate the father. And all of a sudden, something that was so beautiful can become not so beautiful. And so, I believe that what I'm seeing here is that the reason the Holy Spirit, His purpose, He comes to eliminate chaos in our life. Only He can bring peace. He comes to eliminate chaos. How many hate chaos? Oh, I love. How many love peace? I've been young and now I'm old. I love peace. I know what it is to be in a chaotic relationship, and I know what it is to be in a peaceful relationship. I know what it is when everything's going well, and I know what it is when everything's not going well. But it's always caused by three things: disorder, death, or darkness. Disorder, death, or darkness. I mean, you can be totally at peace and get a phone call that would bring such chaos to your life. Everything could be going so well, and all of a sudden, something could happen. You ever been in a place where there was a lot of people and the lights went out? And people can't, what happens? They get, it's chaotic. There's no light and there's darkness and everybody's bumping into one another. They go, ah! And people get scared. I mean, that's what Halloween's all about. Woo! It's to scare you. It's not about peace. It's about disturbing the peace. And so it's all about, it's darkness. Or something, it's disorderly. You know, how many has ever had your house in order and had it in disorder? I mean, even if you just walk in and your sink is a mess. I mean, it's just something. I mean, no, you just got to get it right. And when you start cleaning it up, you just start feeling better, right? Barbara cleaned out her closet yesterday. My gosh. But you think, I'm aware of that. No, you won't. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah. But these things, something happened. I believe in this theory, something went wrong. Some believe that it was created for the devil, that the earth was created for this archangel Lucifer. And that in that creation, Ezekiel talks about that there were stones and rubies and things that just lied on the surface of the earth. And it was just all that beautiful. Today, they don't lie on the surface of the earth. Today, you got to dig and you got to go and find the diamonds and the gold and the silver. The precious stuff has to be worked for to get back. And so something chaotic happened, and some believe that the enemy, Lucifer, decided that he would wanted to be God. Wasn't enough to be like God. He wanted to be God. One thing to be like God, another thing to want to be God. But ever, maybe that's where, you know, people ask me sometimes, you know, they say the word, in Genesis, it says in 6 days he created the heavens and the earth, and some say it's been created, made now for 6,000 years. Well, what about all the scientific discoveries that it's billions of years old? And Christians want to go, well, I just believe the word of God. I believe it's been 6,000 years. Well, got to wake up and smell the coffee. You know. And so, were there dinosaurs on the earth? Probably, yeah, I guess so. They got them. Yeah. I mean, I've said it before. You saw Jurassic Park, didn't you? You know they were. So, you know, they had to be in. And so maybe that's what happened. And the scriptures talk somewhat about some strange things that transpired. So I believe these things happened. But what I really want to see is, what did God do with this disorder and this death and this darkness? What did He do with this formless disorder, with this emptiness, this deadness, and with this darkness? What did God do? The Holy Spirit is hovering, incubating over it to get it back to where it ought to be. Holy Spirit is always hovering over you to bring order to your life, to bring life to your deadness, and to bring just peace to you. He's always there to do that. That's why He said, it's expedient that I go, because if I go, He will come, and He wants to bring these things to your life. And I found out, I love theology, I love the Word. I really do, you know that. I love the Word of God, but I found out that it's going to take a little bit more than knowing this. It's going to take a little bit more than knowing that. It's going to take some power that I don't have. It's going to take something inside of me that it's not resident in my flesh. It's not resident in my soul. It's going to take a little bit more than that. And the Holy Spirit comes to do that. The Holy Spirit comes to bring these things to you. And that's what I want to get to. What is the procedure? How's he going to do it? I believe it followed that the Lord said, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be a space. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good. Paul said it. It's talked about over and over again. The first thing you got to bring to God, you got to shine the light on it. As long as you keep it in the darkness, it'll never be brought out. It'll never be healed. It'll never happen. But if I bring it to light, confess your sins. Why? Because he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's the opposite of confession of my sins? Keeping it in the dark. Keeping it in the dark. People who have serious problems, once they bring it to the light, is a way that God has to deal with. God, the Holy Spirit, can now do something. So the first thing that has to happen, you got to have God's spotlight shined on it. You need the light of God. The Bible says that he is light. And there in him, there is no darkness at all. And so he says, let there be light. The second thing he said, verse 6, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. Now, I don't want to get too theological with you and too deep with you, but waters to me represents the word. And sometimes the word has to be separated so you know what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes the words are so together that you don't know what's up and what's down, what's light and what's dark, what's right and what's wrong. And so it has to be separate. The Bible says the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, piercing the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and as a discerner of the very intent of the heart. And so sometimes we need to have that order brought back to our life. And so he says, let's do that. And the last but not least, he says, God said, let the land sprout with vegetation. Every sort of seed bearing plant and trees that grow, bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed bearing plants. Trees with seed bearing fruit. Their seeds produced the plants and the trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. He said, let me deal with the disorder. Let me deal with the darkness. And finally, let me deal with this deadness. And let's bring fruit. I wrote outside of my notes that God wanted to resurrect it. He wanted to restore it. And he wanted to refructify it. And refructify is a word. I looked it up. And then in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, he says, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. And I'll remove from you the heart of stone, and I'll give you the heart of flesh. You know, it's an amazing thing that transpires today. Wow. Medical field has just gone. To think of a heart transplant, to think of taking another human being's heart and placing it into another human being, and that heart began to beat. You had a spiritual transplant when you came to Christ. Now watch me, because this is important. He took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Now, I've been in the ministry a long, long time, and I really meditated about this week, and I went, I know we could just say it like this, where the heart of stone would be hardness and rebellion to God, and the heart of flesh would be something that's pliable and God can work with, and I believe that's true. I believe it's more than that. And I believe it's more than that because this is what I see happen to people over the years, and this is, I know, what happened to me. God takes the heart of getting and puts in a heart of giving. And my life goes from not what I can get, but what I can give. For God so loved the world that He gave. He's been giving ever since. He's always given. And so I thought, wow. And as I sat at my desk, broken inside, because the Lord began to really deal with me about the coming up next year and saying, I want more of you. I want you to give more than you've ever given. I want you to give of your time. I want you to give of your talents. I want you to give. This thing is all about giving and not about getting, because once you turn it into getting, then you're going to find out that you're going to lose everything. It's not about getting. It's about giving. And so I thought about Acts chapter 2. And God, Jesus tells His disciples, He comes to them in the upper room before He ascends back to heaven, and He says, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. How many know that if He did that, that happened? Jesus never said anything that didn't happen. And so He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. He said, now wait. Before you do anything, I want you to go into Jerusalem. I want you to tarry there until you be endued with power, until that power that's in you becomes all over you. And the Bible says that they tarried in this upper room, about 120 of them, and they prayed. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind. The Bible says tongues of fire sat down upon each of them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the evidence. Now there were people there from all different languages, and they started hearing these disciples speak languages they didn't know. It'd be like me right now just starting speaking French to you. If I did, it would be God. It would not be me. That would have to be God. Well, they all began to do this, and the Bible says that what these other people heard was they were speaking in their languages about, listen to this, the wonderful things God has done. Because the first thing that God wants to do is baptize your tongue. Oh, I thought He wanted me to be water baptized. Yeah, He does. But He wants to baptize more than you. He wants your tongue. I mean, He wants your tongue baptized. My daddy used to say, some people need to take their wallet in the pool because they need their wallet baptized too, because they just never got the wallet baptized. Well, I think one of the most critical things is we get the tongue baptized and just speak the wonderful things of God. Because God said it to Adam and Eve, if you will just speak the wonderful things of God, this thing will go on from now on. But if you go over and eat that tree that has good and evil, when you eat that tree, some things are going to go awry. You can't just speak good and evil. See, a lot of people think, you know, Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to its hearers. He didn't say, all, Greek word for all is what? Yeah, there you go. James said it this way, blessing and cursing is coming out of the same, that ought not be. See, I found out that when my perception of Christianity gets off is when I start seeing more bad than I do good. Christianity is not about the do-nots. Christianity is about the do's. You focus on the do-nots, you'll do the do-nots. You focus on the do's, you'll do the do's. You focus on love, you'll love. You focus on hate, you'll hate. It's just that simple, folks. It doesn't get any simpler than this. But so, these people came together, and all of a sudden, people were in awe. I asked the Lord this week, God, this is what I want next year for Eagles Way Church more than anything else. I want the awe back. I want people going, ah, oh, wow. In verse 43 of chapter 2, it says, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord was adding to the fellowship as people were being saved. Why were they being saved? They're seeing so many wonderful things transpire. You'll always get people in when wonderful things happen. Now, well, this is not a doctrinal thing that every church ought to do. It has happened over the history that some people got together. They went to Alaska. They went to different places. They sold everything they got, threw everything together, and they just distributed to everybody the need that there was. What happened was they came from Pentecost, and they'd come from miles and miles around, and it was such a wonderful thing that happened that they decided not to leave. And to do that, God moved upon them, and they sold everything they had, and they started giving. Giving, giving, giving. And so the Lord really showed me, I believe in that, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it comes into our life, is to take me from a getting to a giving. And that the rest of my life is to be lived in the giving aspect of it, with this new spirit and this new heart that He's put inside me. Because what if I thought in every relationship that I have, what if I lived every relationship I have, every relationship with my mom, with my dad, with my brother, with you, with my wife, with whomever, what if I got in this mode that my whole relationship's going to be all about giving, nothing about getting? I'm only in it for the giving. I'm only in it to give you my love, to give you help, to give you this, to give you encouragement. Give, give. What if I just did that? Wow, what would happen? Let me tell you what would not happen. I wouldn't get chaotic. I wouldn't have anything to be chaotic about. I'll say that again. What would not happen if I just lived this life of giving and everything I did? I would never be chaotic, because I get chaotic when I want something and I don't get it. I want Barbara to do this. I want Barbara to do that. I want Barbara to do this. And guess what? She's not God. And guess what? She's not going to meet every one of my expectations and every one of my wants. She's not. And what if I just focused on giving, 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 though? And I have done both. I've been a dumb monkey and I've been a smart monkey. And this dumb monkey said, I'm just going to try to get her to do this, 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 and this, and criticize her. And if I tell her what all's wrong about her, she'll straighten up. Yeah. How's that working for you? But, and I've tried this other thing called giving, and all I did was just brag on her and talk how wonderful she is and how lovely she is and how great she is. And yeah, it is what happens. Yeah. I go from chaotic to this. And I don't know about you, but I like this better than this. Ooh, I like this so much better than this. God says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit so that you can be a giver just like me. And if you can become a Christ who's sitting next to the right hand of the Father, ever giving for you. He lives for it. He lives to give. He lives to make intercessions for you. I say this in and we'll come take communion. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible is in Romans chapter 8. Now, when I was a little boy in Pentecost, it was misinterpreted, because it says, in this, sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit makes groanings and utterances, intercessions for us, he says, which cannot be uttered. He's inside of me because he's here to do one thing, give to me. And so he's just ever making intercessions to God for me. Even when I don't know what to do, he does. And I know that God's put me here, God's put you here to give. Give your time, give your talents, give your tithe. Just give to God. Just be a giver. Amen? Let's stand together, and as we prepare for communion, the eldership's coming. And Steve, after you have got your elements, Steve Long, if you and your wife would just join me here, because I want to receive communion with you and have a special prayer. So, Lord bless you as you come. I believe this series is not just an important topic, but I believe it's probably one of the most timely topics at Eagles Way Church. Remember years ago, Dad went through a real difficult time, and he... church was really suffering financially, and he was talking to his brother, my uncle Andrew was a pastor also, and Dad was just really distraught, just didn't know what to do. And Dad said, you know, I preach about giving and it doesn't happen. And Uncle Andrew said, Drewy, let me tell you what the problem of your church is. Daddy said, well, what? He said, you ain't got the Holy Spirit in there. He said, you what? He said, you get people in the Spirit, everything else happens. You just got to get them in the right spirit. Oh, wow. That's some good old cornbread theology from way back that I thought about this week. Just all about the Holy Spirit. I'm in a deep, deep hole financially, we are, and I'm thinking, oh, man, if I just talking about giving, no, I'm just not get you in the Holy Ghost. We just got to get the Spirit of God alive in us. The Spirit of God gets alive, and everything else just flows out of that, because that's what he does. But I ran into Steve the other day, and Steve's got some tough things going on in his body, and needs a physical healing, and so we're going to take communion together, and then we're going to pray over you as a body to stretch forth our hands. And after we take communion, I'm just going to ask the eldership if you'd come around. And Steve and Crystal came up at Eagles Way Church. They're still members of Eagles Way Church. He leads praise and worship at First Methodist. We got one at First Baptist and got one at First Methodist leading praise and worship. And so Steve helped lead praise and worship here for years and years and years. And I remember Steve was talking the other day, and Ralph mentioned about when I actually went from here over to Fayetteville and helped my buddy over there in praise and worship. And we don't do those things for rewards, but God didn't forget that, okay? God's not a God who doesn't see what you're doing. He sees it. He's seen all the things you've done in the past for him. You know, I've been a perfect man. Nobody here has been a perfect person. But you've done some good stuff. You reached out to people. You led people. You're still doing that. And see, it was God who said to the enemy, you see my servant Job? I ain't got nobody like him on planet Earth. See, God started that thing. Devil didn't start it. God started it. God sees what's going on. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of his people. So don't ever think that what you've done goes unseen. I got so depressed several years ago, and man, I thought I'm going to have to go see a counselor, I'm going to have to get on medication, I'm going to do something. Because if you know me, I don't like depression. That ain't me. But I was in it. I was depressed, and I was reading the Bible, and I was depressed because I wasn't seeing results I thought I would be seeing. I read a scripture that says, and God said through Paul, I reward you for your labor. He said, I reward you for your success. He said, I reward you for your labor. I came out of depression. on one word from God. Let me tell you something. One word from God can change everything in the world in your life. Everything in the world in your life. He got up from that table. He took the bread and he said, "This is my body. And Steve, it's broken for you. It's broken for you. You, you, and you." Then he took the cup. And his beloved disciples said it as clearly as anybody could say it. Sin not, little children, but if you do, you've got an advocate with the Father. If we'll confess our sins, he'll forgive us our sins. And he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So elders will be coming down. We want to pray for Steve. Father, we bless you and we thank you. We thank you, God, for this servant of yours and his lovely wife that has done so much for you over the years and served in your kingdom with children and different aspects of ministry. Lord, we anoint him with oil symbolic of your Holy Spirit, and we pray the prayer of faith over him. And we ask the power of the Spirit of the living God to flow through him and to bring healing, total, complete healing to every aspect and every part of his body. I want to speak peace over Crystal. Thank you, Lord, that you're the peace giver. That you're not an author of confusion, but of peace and order. And we just speak all this into this family's life. Peace and order and healing. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. You know, when I was speaking over Steve, I felt that was prophetic. But I felt that's prophetic for a lot of you out here. And you need to buy into that. You need to say, that's speaking to me. See, when God speaks and something's going on inside you, God's speaking to me. God's speaking to me. Because that's how God does it. He takes a word that could be to this person one thing, but this person over here is total different. That's how he speaks. And so you take what God has spoken. God sees what you've done. No, we don't do it for that. You can't do that. Do anything and get favor with God. You can't do anything to make it right with God. Grace by grace by grace by grace. But don't you ever think he doesn't watch over and see what's going on in his kingdom. He sees your service. He sees you what you're doing. He sees what you have done. He sees those little moments. He sees that giving. He sees that word that you happen to give somebody when you're walking through a grocery store and you just stop for a moment and you don't know why, but you do, and you minister to that person a word of encouragement. God sees every single thing. Not a sparrow falls to the ground. Every hair of your head is numbered. If he knows that, how much more does he know about every single moment of your life? And here's the good part. He doesn't see the bad. Should have got a bigger amen from just one Galvin. He doesn't see the bad. He only sees the good. You know why? Because he chooses to only see the good. And that's why there's no chaos where he is, because all he sees is good and all he speaks is good. I got to shut up. I'm about to get anointed and go again. Because I'm telling you right now, it's all about good stuff, Lord. It's goodness. It's goodness. It's goodness. And he's put you here to give out those things, to give it out, give it out, give it out all the time. Amen. And he hears it. He sees it. He knows it. Glory to God. Amen. Go get you filled with the Holy Ghost for a long. Tell you this and I'll let you go, because that does happen. My daddy was praying for a guy one time and asked, and the guy said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And his wife was standing next to him and says, "Don't do it, God, he leaks." Hey, that's not how we should see it. It's not how we should see it. We don't leak. He doesn't leak out. He can't. Okay. That's funny, isn't it? He comes in to stay. He's not going to leak out. Okay? Bad theology. Bad theology. He don't leak. Amen? You got it? Gonna do something with it? Will, you need anything? Don't forget to sign up for a Thanksgiving meal out there if you haven't signed up. God bless you. Love you. Mean it.